Now, if I'm talking golf, no matter what, this is one of the first guys I go to. He is our go-to. He is a GolfChannel.com senior writer. He is Rex number 7. You can follow him on Twitter at RexHoggerGC. He is a very good friend of the program. We have him on the phones all the time, but Rex, whenever I can, it is great to sit down with you face-to-face. What's going on? How is life for you, Rex, in 2020?
I was more excited about talking to you this week than I am at Augusta, because we always talk in April
right.
for the Masters. And the reason why is I was worried about you in Kansas City. Like, being a warm-weather guy, I felt how cold that must have been for you. So I'm glad to see you thawed
Rex, out. Can I say this one more time? I said this at the very top of the program because you are maybe the 20th person to say that to me. If one more person says to me, Rome, oh, my God, you look cold. I was really cold. I'm a California guy. Dude, it's cold. That's a different kind of cold, too.
Oh, I'm from Florida. I felt your pain, man. I know how cold that can be. I was going to send you a text like, oh, dude, just bundle up. Keep cool.
That was the problem. I thought that I had, but I did not, but I learned, and you will not be the last. Believe me, I'm going to hear about this the rest of my time. It's okay. Listen, I want to get into some specifics with you in a moment, but when you look at this tournament and you look at this field, what are your initial thoughts? What do you think?
It's the start of the golf season, and that's not fair. I mean, we're a third of the way through the PGA Tour season, the way the wraparound goes, but this is when all the stars come out, right? I mean, obviously, Tiger Woods has been the storyline so far this week, but Rory's going to come in and talk today, and after the season he had last year, it's amazing to think how focused he is and that he could actually improve on what he did last year. You think about all the other players in the field. We haven't seen Jason Day in quite a while, of course, coming off an injury. A lot of interesting storylines, but it feels kind of like 2005 when Torrey Pines is where the PGA Tour really started.
We were talking to Rex Hoggard. All right, so Tiger is going to go off at 9:40 a.m. Pacific tomorrow on the North Course. What do you make of where his game is right now and the group that he's going to play with?
I think the group is going to be fun. It's an interesting stat that they put out yesterday. Morikawa, it's the first time in Tiger's career he's being paired with someone on the PGA Tour who wasn't born when he turned pro.
Right.
So put it in context. And I think it'll be a fun pairing for him. Tiger's spent a lot of time over the last couple of years introducing himself on the first tee. It kind of shows you where he's at in the tour. And, hi, I'm Tiger. You don't get that very often.
Right.
I just walked the pro-am with him. And what's interesting is Tiger has developed a second gear. And Wednesday speed has always been slower than Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday speed. We know that. But I think he's finally to the stage now. And watching him last fall and the things he accomplished in Japan at the President's Cup in Australia, that second gear is really turning out because he has that baby cut now. He can put and play on a golf course like this. And no, he's not going to outdrive anybody in the field. He's not out here trying to do that. He's really, I mean, it's MJ with the fadeaway now.
Rex Hoggard is joining us. And then on top of that, Rex, you've got a really nice piece up on GolfChannel.com about Tiger and the chase for his 83rd career win, which would break Sam Snead's record, and, of course, the 18 majors. How would you describe his overall mood and vibe this week?
It's amazing. He sits down, and he's done this a lot in his career, but you have to, you know, temper expectations when you're Tiger, when you do great things like he does. And he spent the entire press conference yesterday telling everybody that, slow your roll. We're not there yet. We got a long way to go before I get to 83 and Sam Snead, and certainly Jack Nicklaus at 18. And you think he could actually eclipse that this year. It's mind-boggling, but he'd have to win all four, which, you know, he's never done, at least not in a single season. But he could do it. And everyone, specifically the way he came back last year, I had very low expectations when he showed up in Japan. Simply, he's coming off knee surgery. It's the fall. He usually doesn't play his best. That really, I've been impressed by a lot of things he's done in his career. I think what he was able to accomplish in Japan and how sharp he was and the way he worked his way around that golf course, it bodes very well for this season for him.
I was going to say, so bottom line this, when you look at what he did in Japan and you look at how he closed out 2019, how does his game look to you right now compared to where it's been in recent years?
I think health-wise, right? That's always the huge asterisk. We don't know. I mean, he's a great athlete. We know you don't know what to expect. And I kind of equate it to Tom Brady. Like, he's starting to become the outlier in the conversation. He's not that old in years, but in golfer years he is. He's 44 hard years on that body, and you don't know what to expect. He probably shouldn't be able to compete like he is, but he's doing it, and it's because he's healthy. We saw it in Japan. We certainly saw it at Royal Melbourne for the President's Cup. That was a wildly impressive performance, and I think as long as that narrative remains the same, and my guess is this season it's going to be less is more. He's not playing 15 events this year. I don't believe it, because he knows his body can't withstand that. But it's the four events that he wants to focus on. Those are the ones where he's going to peak.
Rex 7 is joining us. All right, so in terms of the four events and trying to peak at the right time, does it feel to you like he's got another major in him this year?
It does. The way he played Augusta last year, I mean, that was a tactical masterpiece. And you go back to, and I love this about Royal Melbourne. Anybody that's ever been there, Jeff Ogilvy gave me this line a few years ago. Royal Melbourne is just Augusta National without the green grass. I mean, it's Alistair McKenzie. It's a wonderful design.
That is a great line.
And the way he picked his way around that golf course all week long, and look, he was pulling double duty, playing captain, and he had a lot going on. The way he dissected that golf course, it's the exact same thing he'll do in April at the Masters.
Rex Hoggard is joining us. Now, obviously, this course is a course that means so much to Tiger. What do you think it would mean to him to get career win number 83 here, should that happen?
That's where he sort of hit that roadblock yesterday and you know, pumped the brakes a little bit. But it would be special when you consider he's won 8 times here. I would say he probably has what I would consider the defining moment of his career at the 2008 U.S. Open when he won a major championship on one leg. So I think it would mean the world to him. He's very good at compartmentalizing and not getting ahead of himself. But, I mean, that's a historic mark. All those years we were talking about 18, he sort of rolled his eyes, and he would always point to 82 is actually the number I'm first focused on. And I think that's still the case.
All right, so I just had Pat Perez on, and we talked about Phil Mickelson and how he looks and how he's hitting it. Fact is, Phil is going to turn 50 in June, but he did say the other day he's going to keep playing on regular tour as long as he's bombing it off the tee. We know that's important to him. Where is his game right now?
He actually took a shot at me last week in Palm Springs about my weight. So I think he's in a good place. And yeah, I mean,
how good does he feel about himself if he's taking a run at somebody else about their weight?
Oh yeah, it was a weird. He kind of put his arm around me and asked me, "You need any diet tips?" And I kind of looked at him out of the corner of my eye and thought, "No, he just didn't ask me that." But it was a good line, and I appreciate it. He feels good about his game, and this is where I think physically he's starting obviously to take care of himself. I think he's lost the better part of 25 pounds. However, the part that I'm really interested in is he's talked year after year about his mental focus on the golf course. He's just not able to get through 18 holes focused to not make those stupid mistakes. If he can start doing that, and let's face it, he's less than a year removed from winning on the PGA Tour at Pebble Beach last year. So it's not as though he's well past his prime. He just needs to get that spark. If he does, I've always argued golf is at its best when Phil is playing his best, because Tiger loves going against Phil when Phil's playing his best. And can you imagine a late in life sort of rekindling of that rivalry?
It'd be fun. I want to go back to the other point, though, about him putting his arm around you and saying, "Do you need any diet tips?" As an example, 26-year-old Grayson Murray said, quote, "Seeing all these guys who are older than me in the gym, I'm like, why am I not? I mean, if they're working that hard, you see Phil and them, so I had to turn that around to feel better about myself. First and foremost, then my game will never be that far off." I mean, again, did you ever think we'd get to a point where somebody would be looking at Phil Mickelson as their fitness guru and role model?
In what universe is Phil the paradigm of fitness? Honestly, I mean, let's be honest about this. And I love Phil. I've been friends with his trainer a long time. He does work hard. And it's the diet part that he really ran into. And he told me a little bit about it. It's a crazy diet. I have no interest in it.
What is it? What's he doing?
It's air and water. I mean, whatever it is, it's no carbs, it's no alcohol, everything that goes into it. It's very impressive. And for him to do this, as you pointed out, he's going to be 50 this year. And I think the Ryder Cup is on his list. It's getting back inside the top 50 is in his list. And look, Wingfoot at the U.S. Open, we all know what happened there and the missed opportunity. I think he realizes this is probably his last chance to get that U.S. Open.
We're talking to Rex Hoggard for a few more moments. Now, I had Tony Finau on earlier, and we talked about the President's Cup experience. One of the international players who was not there was Jason Day. And you've got a piece up on him on golfchannel.com. What kind of emotions was he feeling as he watched the President's Cup?
I think he's dealing with a lot of emotions the last few months. I mean, obviously being hurt, he didn't play well last season, needed to be a captain's pick anyway, and then he had to withdraw. And look, he was going to be a big part of that game plan for Ernie Els going down to Australia. He knows Royal Melbourne. He knew he was going to get the crowd behind him. And I asked him about it yesterday, and it made him angry. He couldn't watch it for very long. Mm-hmm. He'd have to get up and walk out of the room. And I think that's part of the emotions. I think listening to him yesterday, he's also coming to grips with the fact he can't be the player that he probably once was when he was number one in the world. He just physically can't do it, at least not with the back he has right now. Now, you know, I just made fun of Phil for being the paradigm of fitness. In this particular case, he does have Tiger as the paradigm of hope, because Tiger was in a very similar spot not that long ago, and we're talking in very glowing terms about him winning major number 16. So I think there is an outlet, but I didn't see it in Jason's eyes yesterday when he was talking. I think he's not in the best of place right now physically.
Mm-hmm. Rex Hoggard, my guest. All right, so it's a Ryder Cup year and an Olympic year. How does all of that figure into the schedules for players?
I think a lot of players will come to the end of the season, and if they have to make points, I mean, I remember talking to Paul Casey about this just last week. It's very important for him to play for UK in the Olympics. It was a priority for him in 2016 in Rio, and certainly this is probably going to be his last opportunity. And I think you'll see a lot of golfers towards the end of the season start changing up their schedule, chasing points, because they want to play for their countries. What'll be interesting, and right now, Tiger's right there on the edge, and it certainly will be the last time Tiger will be able to play in the Olympics, I would think. And you wonder how important this is to him. I mean, we've kind of seen it year in and year out. Back in 2016, some players passed, didn't feel like it was something they wanted to do. I think that's changed. I think we'll see players start to make runs and really make concerted efforts to qualify for whatever team.
Rex, before you go, the tour has been working on pace of play recently. Last week, they unveiled a new plan that's going to go into effect in April. First off, what is the plan?
You know, the only thing I hate talking about is pace of play. Slow play bothers me less than talking about pace of play. And I know it's a very hot-button issue right now, and I will give the tour credit. The plan that they came up with, historically they have focused in on groups and just trying to keep, you know, threesomes in place and not letting them fall too far behind. The new policy is really focused in on the individual, and this is where it will be interesting. Guys will now start the week, and this policy didn't go into effect until April, but guys will now start the week on essentially an observation list. So they'll be on the clock from the time they tee off. I think that could make a difference, and we've talked about this forever. No one seems to ever have any answers, but I think this one could be at least a step in the right direction.
All right, so the guys that you're talking to, the players that you've spoken to about the plan, what do they make of it?
They like it. They know this is something. We're not going to go from 4.5-hour rounds to 3.5-hour rounds. That ain't going to happen. What's going to happen on the PGA Tour is you're going to get that bottom 10%, which is what this list is going to focus on, and you're going to keep them from taking 2.5 minutes to hit a putt, not to call a player out, but this all got started because of Bryson DeChambeau last year in New Jersey, and the video went out, and it took him 2.5 minutes to hit a 8-foot putt that he missed. And I think everybody sort of got sideways about that for obvious reasons, and that's what they want to do away with. I think this list is a good step.
All right, so I can't let you go without a prediction. Who is the favorite at Torrey Pines this week in your mind?
Well, watching Tiger, I mean, I just followed him on the front nine. He'd certainly be a guy I'd point out. But I just think Rory's mind is in such a good place. And I know this is his first event, and he's been practicing hard and might come out a little bit rusty, but I would be shocked if he doesn't put himself into contention.
He is a senior writer for GolfChannel.com. He is Rex number 7. You can follow him on Twitter at Rex Hoggard, GC, and we consider him a very good friend of the program. Rex, it is so good to see you. Thank you very much, and I appreciate the friendship, the relationship, and you always coming on the program.
I love it on here. Thanks, Jim.
Great job, Rex. Way to set it up. Rex Hoggard joining us live.